sight of the microphone for the green light to the speed trap, Ray Reno and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Eat, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway side. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
You can keep singing, Joe, on Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show here on Long Island. Of course, where else would it be if it's from Long Island? With your host, Ray Guarino, his co-host, Wingman XO, and the man on the con when I step out for some other duties, Joe D. That's a special song that goes out to a special someone associated with this show.
Yes.
We have to say thank you to our good friend and,
man.
Our past host, Chris Switzer, and he knows what it's all about. So with that,
let's grab the phone.
Looks like we're starting off on a howl, so let's go right to the phones and say, hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Hello.
Hey, that sounds like Howie.
It's the big man.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. Professor Ray, Joey D., how's life on this rainy day?
Hey, we're living. How about you? You're Johnny on the spot today, or I should say Howie on the spot. You're jumping right in, huh?
I'm jumping right in, man, and it's what's coming up in the near future. Well, we got the Atlantic City Convention Center for the Classic Car Show and Auction that's happening February 10th. I don't know if you boys are going to go on that long bus ride.
No.
Nah.
Okay. No, we're leaving that for you, Howie.
Yeah, so you can report for us.
You know, I tell you this, I enjoy going there. Don't always enjoy coming home.
Right, right. At that point, you're tired, you're hungry. There's only one little bathroom on the bus there. Hopefully, you'd see it out. You hope the windows
there's
open.
There's two. I think there's two.
Good.
Luxury buses.
Or yeah. Just in case the windows do open, right?
That's true.
Yeah, yeah. That's, all right, cool. So you're gonna go?
I don't know. I haven't decided yet, but it's kind of coming close to it.
Yeah, it's in February, I think. Right, like February 10th.
February 10th.
Yeah. Okay.
You know.
What auction company runs that? Do you know? We have a question from over the airwaves there. Over the
interweb. Don't know the auction company, but
it's good to be informed.
It's a good event. Just at the cars, the amount of cars that are there, and the quality of cars. In the last couple of years, has gone down. That's from what I heard.
Okay.
There's not as many as it used to be. Yeah.
So is it more of just more of a reason to get out and be with the guys than anything else?
Yes. Some of my favorite people from the Pontiac Club are there. It's a whole day affair. Whatever way you look at it.
Okay.
It's a whole day.
Yeah, you get on the bus early. You take the ride down there. From what I understand, it's about 2.5-3 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The trip is easier to go. It seems longer when you're coming home. I don't know why.
Because it's tight.
Well, yeah, you've done it. You want to be home. You want to put your feet up and, you know, have a knish. And you can only do that at home, not on the bus.
I like the way you say knish, man. I like the way you say that.
Wow.
Italian guy saying knish.
Well, it is pronounced knish, is it not?
That's true, sir.
Okay,
knish, knash, knock. I didn't really bastardize it, right?
It's not knish.
No, you didn't. No, I never think of you as that word, by the way.
Okay.
Thanks, Howie. All right, well, listen, Howie, you need to stay tuned today because we're going to have a great guest We have Mr. Mike Natale from South Mountain Raceway calling in today. We're following up on the story about Englishtown Raceway canning eighth and quarter mile drag racing. So Mike is the proprietor of a track in Boiling Springs, PA, and he's now in a good, I think, the catbird seat. So you want to tune in and hear. This way you know if you want to bring any of your classic muscle and cruisers out to get a quick time slip, you'll know where to go.
Okay. It sounds exciting.
Oh, yeah, it will be.
I got an update on the Audi adventure.
Tell us.
Oh, yeah. Bring it on.
Yeah, well, remember I called you when I was in, you know, one of my candy stores.
You were looking at spark plugs, yes. Yes, yes. You were looking at spark plugs.
And the spark plugs, Japanese spark plugs in a German car. That worked out pretty good. That was okay. It was easier than I thought to do.
Right.
And the ignition coil pack, when you switch it, you know, so does like the 301 code went to 305.
Okay.
Decided to order it.
I wonder where you heard that from.
I heard that from you. And basically, you know, I spoke to, you know, my friend Teddy, who's, you know, big Audi,
Teddy Ruxpin,
you know, guy.
Audi!
And he gave me a website to go to, because when you go to just to try to get original parts, they're expensive.
So he has a place where you can get original parts less expensive.
Yes, so I tried that, and it worked out,
presses.
You know, better on the price, and I took a year guarantee on if something goes wrong, then I'll be able to exchange it. So I'm going to try it, you know. But like I said,
You like it?
Yeah, I'm trying. You know, I usually like to get original parts, but when it's like, I don't know, 30 times more, I wonder about
Well,
that.
Listen, there's also the pay-to-play mantra, where when you step up to an Audi or a Porsche or one of the high-end luxury-type vehicles, you know the stuff is going to cost. You're going to have to pay, and if you put crap in it, it's not a good thing either. So, you know, I know you got the car, and you pay a little less because it was used, but sometimes you got to just, you know, you got to man up on this stuff.
Yeah, I know. They don't like that stuff.
Professor Ray, you sound like my wife, you know?
Really?
You got to man up and do this. Okay.
oh, boy. Let's not go there.
All right.
By the way, her sitting in the seat there hasn't set the airbag light off again, huh?
No.
No, oh, good. So, in other words, Jenny Craig is working.
I was surprised. You know, it's the outer airbag in the passenger seat that,
right.
that the light went on.
I remember hearing about. I remember someone talking about that too.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't want to blame it on the girl, but you know, anything could happen. We went over like one or two, you know, like potholes that. You know, could have, you know, shaken the electronics.
Is that the code word for it these days?
Yeah. Again, Howie, the thing that you have to remember is a lot of these cars,
and
when
you kids calling it,
after they're a few years old or they come off a lease and people sell them to get something new, they do that so they don't enter the repair cycle that the vehicle now enters, but they don't enter it on the monetary side. And when you pick up a car like that because you can get it a little more affordable, you are getting it probably right at when the repair cycle may start for stupid little things.
Repair cycle, I think it's long gone, Professor Ray. This is a 98, so the repair cycle will probably be the 5 to 10 years. This is going on 20 years. I'm in an older cycle.
No, you're right. This is a spin cycle. I didn't realize the car was that old. Okay, well, now you're in the Uncharted. Now you're out on. You might as well be on, you know, Klondike 3, and because you're in
Klondike. You mean I'm in Jupiter and it's SOL?
That could
work.
Sometimes. Go another planet or so.
Yeah.
Pluto. Okay. Yeah. Pluto's not registered.
As I heard it said very judiciously on a Discovery Science Channel last night, you could be at Uranus.
the kids are calling
it now. I never heard that before. I was like, wow, that guy's
wow.
He's being really PC.
Obviously,
but
not a New York accent.
For the first the first year that I've owned the Audi, I've been very fortunate.
No, you've been, you know, it's been good to you. I got to say, you know, all kidding aside, that car's treated you really well, because I know I put the fear of God in you. It's like, what? You want to buy a German car, John? You stupid phone call. You don't want that thing. You know, but
very good, Joe.
I tell you, when I went to, when we had an issue with the Expedition, I didn't take it to Finger Lake. I took the Audi, and Judy enjoyed driving the Audi, and we had no issues with it, and we got close to 32 miles a gallon.
Very good.
You know, with it.
How economical.
So, it's been pretty respectable, and I've been very fortunate, you know, and I got it on classic, you know, insurance. So for the first year, I've been very fortunate, and what I'm doing now is, you know, maybe buying a cheaper part, trying to take a warranty out with it. You know, I might have to buy the original part, but I'm trying to go to a website that I've been advised to go to.
Who makes this part that you purchased?
Oh, good question. I'll tell you.
Does the name sound like somebody threw a bunch of pots and pans down a staircase?
No. Hold on. I'm on the computer right now. If you give me a second, I will.
Take two. It's live radio. It's okay.
They're cheap. Yeah, take a few. Well, this is what we talk about all the time, Joe, about when you do buy parts. I know with my own cars, the Mazdas I have, I found a place called Real Mazda, realmazdaparts.com,
right?
And they do sell OEM. I think it's a dealer somewhere out in the Midwest. And they have an internet business, and they offer a discount because it's internet. And that guy's job, I know people who've been in his position, his job hangs on the amount of internet revenue. So the more stuff he could pump out at a reduced price, that guy keeps his job.
Let's face it, the interweb is where you got to be these days if you want to do business.
Ted recommended clearance sale that had it. So he says that the quality's been pretty good, the prices are good.
Okay.
Compared to going directly to Audi. So I'm trying it.
All right.
It's going to come to me. It's coming to me in February 2nd.
Okay.
Okay.
That's the end of the week.
We'll all cross our collective fingers, and it'll probably be fine. Don't get me wrong. It's just
it's going to be fine. Joey, if you look at the coil, it's the original equipment. It's been in there for, you know, close to 20 years.
Right.
It needs to be replaced.
Okay, now you sound like Chris.
Yeah, credit card diagnostics, yeah. Well, you know, it 20 years old, it does have a right to go, you know, go to Florida.
Hey, my appendix has been in there for almost like 60, and it's okay.
Really, gentlemen, let me say, it was pretty simple to do, you know, a spark plug change on the Audi. It was right there, and the coil pack is one unit where you're doing, let's see, 7 connections, and it's done, you know.
And there are things on that car that you can't even begin to talk about for how complex.
Oh, absolutely. Like the airbag, I had to go over to my friends at Galaxy to reset the code.
Had to go to another Galaxy?
I couldn't do it with my monitor.
Mm. That's remember we were talking about, you need a scan tool that has the ability to do manufacturer-specific scanning?
Yes.
See, he looks like he's using a launch, based on the picture you sent me there.
Mm-hmm. Probably correct.
Yeah,
it was expensive to get. I know that, you know, you know, I mean, you know, it may, you know, the light may come on back, but I'm addressing it because I really can't, you know, bring any passengers in the car if that light is on. If I'm going to make any trip for, say, with the wife for dinner, I want to make sure that the airbags work so that if anything does happen, you know, we will have the full protection of the car. And this car has front and side airbags.
Hey, Howie, if the light comes on, I got two words for you. Bubble wrap.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Just wrap her up. That'll be cool.
No black tape?
No.
Use that to hold the bubble wrap.
Go get the bubble wrap and the black tape and go practice, because we have to go take a break, because we're going to come back with Mike Natale from South Mountain Raceway. So we got to cut you, Howie. You've had your time. We got to go.
Happy motoring.
All right, man. See you soon.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Au revoir. All right, that was the big man, and we're going to take our quick break, and hopefully we'll be on the phone with Mike when we come back. We're going to mix it up a little bit here, Joe. We're going to do some cool stuff, and we'll be back with more Motormouth Radio.
Can't wait.
When we come back, hopefully with Mike, and we'll see you then.
Every sound, every note, including the bass, on this track is played by a monkey.
American Hit Radio, Wednesdays and Fridays at 5 p.m. on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Do you own a car? Or have you ever seen one? Then you might be one of the millions of Americans who suffer from "there's something wrong with my car, but mechanics cost too much itis." Call the Motor Mouse at 516-572-7440. Our trained staff of two will help. There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motor Mouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a song, this is a threat.
Oh, we're back on Motormouth Radio with the undertones of a threat, and we're back on the phone. Hello, caller, you're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? Sorry.
Oh, Christian, what's happening?
What's up, man?
Not much.
You're jumping Mike Natale.
I did?
Well, presumably, yes.
That's because he red lit.
I guess so. You jumped the light, yeah.
And I forgot why I called.
So. Oh, very good. You've reached that age.
It's contagious.
it's
what are we doing here, Bob?
Short term. You hit that middle aged and it's
CRS, baby.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah, but this one felt like one of slow blow fuses with a little resistor coil in it.
It kind of fizzled slowly and went pop.
Yeah, it's got that little brown and sort of black in the middle, and it's like.
Right, right.
No, Pennsylvania and drag strip, and it just. I'm trying to remember what happened if he's still around. I was talking about E Town closing up. One of the biggest, most amazing things I've seen at E-Town in the past was the day I saw Willie Borsch's bucket, you know, the Winged Express go down the track, but basically did a 1,310-foot burnout, and the Hemi Hunter. And I'm just really curious to know if he knows from PA Dev. What's his name?
Mike Natale.
Mike Natale.
Yeah. Mike Natale. That was a Pennsylvania car, and that was a Division One champion car at 1971, I think, in E-Town, the Hemi Hunter.
Yeah, I remember the Hemi Hunter.
Front engine dragster, blown nitro, cast iron, big block Chevy. So I'm just curious to know if that car is still out there.
You know, a lot of those cars are, you know, the people have, as you know, they've gone away. The cars are in a garage somewhere.
No, they were using that car. They were running that car on Nito.
Okay.
That car is updated. That's all new.
All right.
You know, it's still based off a cast iron big block. So.
Okay. So, yeah, a lot of them did find life in a resurgence. Yeah,
if this shows even. I just wonder what happened to that car. That was an amazing dragster. I seen it run a 6.0 straight as an arrow. You know.
That's
not
cool.
Another cool nitro car that I used to see on a regular basis at English Town, you know.
Well, we will ask Mike if he can get in here. So,
and the subject on E Town is all over the place, so we all know.
And that's why we wanted him on, because he's got the next closest track.
Yeah,
and
I'll get going. I mean, I'm not too shocked, only because we knew this was coming.
Oh yeah.
You know, this is something been in the works, and it's just, you know, they hung in there. So,
all right.
It is what it is. Hopefully things will change around here maybe now because of it, too.
Right. And, Christian, the one thing I want to change is I want to see you come in here back into the studio. We want to have you back in to talk more about what you do.
Yeah, come on.
When am I up? When is my tenure up from my Motormouth Person of the Year?
You know, we haven't heard from Bob.
The jury's still out on that.
You still have it because Bob hasn't announced the new one yet.
Yeah,
so
I have to work on
my farewell speech and everything, you know, so I just have to make this official.
You got it.
Right. We'll have the orchestra ready behind you there.
All right, Christian. We'll talk to you soon.
Later.
Thanks, man. So take care.
All right. Hopefully we'll... Mike, if you're listening, you're free to call, and we can... you know, talk all about the...
And there's the flashy thing.
And there we go. So let's go back to the phones and say hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Yeah, it's Mike Natale here.
Hey, hi, Mike. How you doing? You're on with Ray and Joe.
Hey, Ray and Joe.
Hey, Mike.
I never met Joe. How you doing, Ray?
Joe and I were talking before the show. You may have met Joe. You just don't know it. But we'll have to establish that in another...
Or you just don't admit it. That's
in another call.
Most people don't.
So... of course, the reason we got you on is because you are the proprietor of South Mountain Raceway. We talked to you about this a while ago, but we wanted to cover the subject of now Englishtown stopping eighth and quarter mile racing and what that means to you. So tell us about the track and fill in the blanks, please, Mike.
All right, well, you know, it's a sad day. Englishtown closing their racing event because it was a, you know, a world event. I mean, national event place for many, many years. You know, we had National Speedway and back on Long Island. We had Englishtown was the other national. So it was fantastic, you know, all the years that it went. But, you know, now that I guess they're making more money by not racing. And that happens sometimes. But when they close down, other tracks are going to be absorbing those people from that track.
Mike, the question I have is this. I know Englishtown was in, the Knapp family had run the track since 65, I think it was.
Yes. But, 1965, yep.
And they, July 4th, 1965, in fact, but they ceased quarter and eighth mile racing, but they kept the mud bogs,
the motocross,
the drifting.
The go-kart racing, the
yeah.
drifting.
So, yep. you know, the elephant in the room is, of course, people say to us, well, it must be because of the noise and the people. You know, we go there twice a year for the swap meet, and I've seen myself the way the housing has been coming up price-wise. You know, in your opinion, do you think that's the reason that this came about, this change?
Well, you know, I guess it had a little bit of in their business decision. I couldn't tell you what they're thinking, you know. But all I know is when I did speak to Alex at one of the meetings, and we mentioned about, you know, Sandy at the time.
Right.
And they were storing cars. That's where it started from. They were storing a lot of the flood cars, and they were making more money than they did, you know, running a racetrack for many
yeah.
years.
Right, right.
So, you know, in fact, a friend of mine, a personal friend of mine, who owns Peter's Clam Bar, you know, his place was devastated.
Right.
And one of his friends says, hey, can I borrow your lot? And I say, how much money is he making? He goes, well, he's making money on that? I go, yeah, they're getting like $45 to $90 a day for storage.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
crazy. The numbers it was crazy money. In fact, the AccuTime, Rusty Crawford, who does my timing system, is in Texas. And guess what? One of the Texas raceways right now, I'm not going to mention the name, but he has his pilot's license. He flew over the track, and all of the flood cars from Harvey are parked on this drag strip.
Right, right. Yeah, I get it. Yeah,
it's a very small world. I mean, these guys, the Knapps know, the people from, I mean, everybody knows track owners like Bobby Domino and Joe Sway, God rest his soul. But, you know, what happened on this is, you know, Bobby spent a lot of money up in Numidia. He put a ton of money into that racetrack, hoping to get a divisional, and they didn't get it. But now, look what's happening, is he's going to absorb that, and he's going to work on that, and that's going to make Numidia a better racetrack.
Let's jump back to your world. Is that going to help you with any division races as well?
Oh, no. Division race, no. I'm a grassroots, 8 mile drag strip. I could probably do some, there is 8 mile divisional races, and that's
right.
Down south, and there are a lot of 8 miles. But I don't have the property and to handle that kind of car count.
Okay.
You know?
Got it.
I couldn't handle it. But, 150 to 200 cars on a weekend, we're good. And, we got a lot of limitations on us, but we will get, I know, people have reached out to us that had, you know, events planned with Englishtown, and these guys would drive from Boiling Springs down to Englishtown. They said, hey, now you guys from Englishtown, you can drive up the South Mountain. We'll do some dot 90 races and some stock and super stop races.
What's the, how far is it between the two tracks, Mike?
I never really, I never checked on the,
okay.
It's about a 2 hour run. It's got to be at least a 2 hour ride.
Where is Boiling Springs from us here on Long Island?
Well, if you ever drive up 78 past Cabela's and go into 81, if you go to Dutch Wonderland or Hershey Park.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm right in the middle of all of that, Gettysburg. I'm mid-state Pennsylvania.
Got it. Okay.
And it's right on the borderline of the Mason-Dixon borderline. By you know, Lancaster's there, and you know, we're close to the capital, Harrisburg.
Right.
So, but with mid-state south, we're on the midpoint of the Appalachian Trail.
Okay.
So when anybody wants to do some hiking from Maine to Georgia, from Georgia up to Maine, we are the midpoint, and this is the welcoming area is Boiling Springs. We have these natural springs. These hikers get water and whatever they need. It's really fabulous town.
Got it.
If you're in the area, and then Carlisle, of course, Carlisle sure. Events is north of 81. So if you ever been up that way, so we're gonna probably, you know, I think every track is gonna absorb some of the races that English Town put on over the years.
Right, right.
You know, I think there's swap meets and stuff. I mean, it'll probably go, but I don't see it. You know, it had that national event feel, but we'll have to see. I wish them all the best. And, you know, the Knapp family, three generations of Alex and Michael, you know, the people and Richie, you know. My son raced there. He won the championship there back in 2004. They were great, you know, it's just a great, great facility. Good, you know.
Yeah, it was a great place, yeah.
Walter Fry, you know, Walter Fry used to run. You guys know Walter?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, Walter, you know, he always put on great events up there. With the nostalgia stuff and the Long Island stuff. So guess what? You know, Walter Fry, I mean, he's still working with them, but, you know, I think he drag races in his blood and in his heart.
Right, right.
So that's what, you know, that's what runs, you know, true to him. So hopefully Walter and I and a couple other people, we can put some good, the Long Islanders versus the Mountaineers.
Hey, there you go.
So we'll take this. Yep.
So, Mike, let's jump back a sec. You know, last time we had you on the show, it was 2015. I think you had just gotten the track. What was the? Give us the history of your time with you know, how you ended up with South Mountain Raceway.
Well, I took a trip to go see the Ford Museum in Detroit, and. On our way back, Tony Tamborello, a friend of mine, was racing at the Mopar. They have a big Mopar event at this little 8-mile track. They packed the place in. The place is wild. I stopped and saw this beautiful little 8-mile track where you can see the whole track. I mean, you can see the pits. You can see the cars warming up. We actually made a pattern, a traffic pattern. And the people come and watch. I mean, these are the improvements I've made. But when the cars are warming up in the morning, it's like they're taking a lap around Daytona 500, you know? They nice. Go right past. And the stands, I get more people in the stands than a divisional event gets.
Wow.
You know, here I am looking at pictures of English Town at divisional events of the Reinhardts and all these guys, big time, you know, beyond us. And there's nobody watching.
Yeah.
There's nobody in the stands watching these, you know, and some high caliber, top quality, the top of the top, you know, racing, and there's nobody there.
Right.
But I, this track was closed down, and I did a track rescue right here, and so you know, we took it. It was put out like a spent cigarette, and we've been working on it. And the people at my track, and I mean, really, I met with them before I purchased the track to see who was left. And what was the best part of the facility, and what was the worst part? And as soon as I bought it, I made some fixes right away. You know, quick, you know, paving fixes, that kind of stuff. And you know, I'm not a multi-bajillionaire, and a lot of help from a lot of the races. We're turning this track around. Hopefully, we get scoreboards this year. We still use a big strobe light at the finish line, but you can see who won.
Right.
You know.
Oh, just to back up a little bit, I just got information from a trusted source that the distance from E-Town to South Mountain is 174 miles, which is 2 hours and 46 minutes.
Okay.
Wow, okay.
Just for those who want to know.
What about Maple Grove, while we think of it?
Maple Grove's about an hour and 15 minutes from my track.
Oh, okay, good.
Yep, and then there's, well, there's so many tracks in my area. Like I mentioned, Numidia, there's Beaver Springs up north. He just sold his track, Beaver Bob. He was an IHRA track. And he was exactly an hour 47 north of me. And south of me is Mason Dixon. And then there used to be York US 30 was there.
Yeah, York 30.
Sure. Yep, York 30. And, you know, we got 7580. It was closed down. That's another track that closed down. Capitol's there. Cecil County's not that far from me. MIR's about 2.5 hours from me. So I draw from, I get people from Virginia Motorsports Park. You know, they go traveling, and, you know, they don't have to be in the points. I get all kinds of great cars show up to my track. Cause they, and, in fact, they go, you know what, my best 60-foot times is at southbound.
Wow,
and
nice.
I, you know, oh, no, the track is as smooth as the pool table. The guy who lost the track that I bought it from, you know, when it went bankrupt, he spent a ton of money on that starting line.
Okay.
And he left us the, you know, second to none starting line.
What's the elevation of the track, Mike?
510 feet.
Okay. All right. So that's...
That's reasonable, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Yep. You know, and it's really cool. It's got about a 1,200-foot shutdown. Everybody, we actually moved the starting line back, so we got a longer shutdown now. You know, back in the day, it was a 316 track.
Oh, that's wow.
Yep, it was a fast. They were running 1,000 foot before NHRA was running 1,000 foot.
Wow. Okay.
So it was actually called a 316th track. So now when the previous owner from me, he moved the starting line back and then made it as flat and as at the pool table. I mean, it is smooth.
Nice.
And but he got rained out. He got beat up so bad, and he ended up losing the track.
Yeah.
In fact, he was trying to get it back. I backed away. I felt bad for the guy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He had everything was weather dependent, sunshine dependent.
You know, one man's loss is another man's gain, and all of that. And so, Mike, back in the day, what was your hot rod of choice?
Oh, I always I loved everything. I raced whatever I got my hand on. I race it. I see how fast it is.
Okay.
But my favorite car is my little 71 Duster I have. I have a little 71 Plymouth Duster with a steel-headed 340, 9-inch tire slick, and it leaves like nobody's business.
Nice.
And, I'd calm it down, but I used to do some major big wheel stands and hit the 60-foot clocks with the rear tires. And everybody, nobody believed with the, you know, stock, it was stock stroke. And, you know, it's a regular stock stroke and 30 over, 340 with steel heads.
I was going to say, the way to make it even better is like put a long strap on the tranny blanket so the strap trips the 60-foot. You don't have to wait for the rear wheels to go by.
Well, yeah, that would actually, it would hang down because I blew up a 727 one time and let me tell you something. That was just like stepping on a landmine when a 727 explodes.
Yeah, definitely.
But,
definitely.
That's my car of choice, but I had a Motion Biscayne. That was my high school car.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah, that was a pretty cool car. That was a lot of fun. They called it the Battleship.
Right.
You know.
But, you're a Long Island guy.
Yeah, Valley Stream. I grew up in Valley Stream, went to Central High School.
Uh-huh.
My trotter is, one of the top automotive instructors in the country. Was I happen to have him as my DJ, and then I worked with him. They actually hired me. DJ at Valley Stream.
You taught ATPP, didn't you?
Yes, I did. We wrote.
Mike, do you know how Joe knows you taught ATPP?
ATTP.
Yeah,
ATTP?
He was in my classes.
Yep.
In our classes, yeah.
Out in Farmingdale.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day.
Farmingdale. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, we did a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, we did so much. In fact, when I was going for my engineering degree, I had to do a presentation, and the dean in the department head was Professor Lagnese. I don't know if you remember him. He went and got the dean and says, do your presentation again. Can you do it? I did. So I did it. And they go, good, you're hired. I said, what about my degree? They go, you don't need it. So I never finished my engineering.
Oh,
I never got my degree.
Wow.
Oh, that was, too bad.
And I That's all right. Listen, it doesn't matter in drag racing.
No, it doesn't. I mean? No, it doesn't.
It doesn't matter. It didn't matter where I worked on my day job either.
Right.
But I, you know, it was great. I loved teaching and being at that college because we had the federal test procedure dyno there.
Oh yeah, that place is loaded for bear. Mm-hmm.
Oh, we had the top. Yeah, we played with that. We had a lot of fun. God, I don't know how we didn't kill anybody with this stuff.
It just goes to show this is the same old
world.
The same old thing where on Motormouth Radio we find all these circles that connect all the time. And when I was talking to Joe before the show, he says, "Hey, you know, I think I know this guy."
And yeah.
Lo and behold,
see?
Yeah. Yeah, Joe. All the good guys are still hanging in there. We're loving this, and we still do it. You know, so
right.
It's a small world. That's right. Like what I said when I heard Texas was doing the same thing as English Down. It's a small world. We're a small community.
That's it.
You know, but everybody loves it. Once you, there isn't anybody. I always said it. My Aunt Mary, man, she had a Buick Special, man. She had a right foot. That adrenaline rush when you stomp on something with a, that just lights up the tires and runs.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing like it.
Oh, no.
You know?
Absolutely not.
And even in a Tesla, I got Teslas at my track. They want me to put a charging station up.
Oh, cool.
I got like 5 or 6 of these guys to come down. And they actually need, they basically come into that category of needing a roll bar. But because of the manufacturer, we can let it slide.
You got to put like an old Sunoco 260 decal on the charging station, though, or, you know,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah. Yep, Cam 2.
Or Cam 2, right. That'd be great. Cam 2 with a lightning bolt.
Yeah, do we get any money for mentioning those guys?
No.
They just raised the prices on them.
No, in fact, they're probably going to charge us for using a name without approval.
Sure, yeah. The lawyers are on the other line right now.
So, Mike, do us a favor. Run down for us what's going on this season at South Mountain Raceway. What can people look forward to?
Oh, well, we had a really big, nobody ever takes care of the street class. And it's a pretty big class. And we call it, you got to run 4 DOT tires. So we, at the end of the season, we put a big, had to have mufflers. It doesn't have to be registered. It doesn't have to be insured. But it needs mufflers and 4 DOT tires. And it's got to be kind of, streetable. You know what I mean?
Right.
So we put a big money race together called the Street Eliminator. It's I think we got about, I don't know, up 2,000 to the winner. I forget. But that's one of our, we're going to reschedule that. We do a Glory Days race, and that's a two-day event. We do a drive-in on Saturday and a car show. In fact, Bruce Lawson, I don't know if you ever heard of him.
Yeah.
The USA One car, Bruce Lawson, is my name. He's always coming to our track. And in fact, he's just one of the coolest guys. My son's, they're doing a drag racing movie. And you just have to be, you just have to come up and see it. But we're doing a Glory Days, and the owner before me was a guy named Ron Wallace. And I never heard anybody speak a ill word of this. Everybody goes, oh, when Ron had the track. That's all I ever heard. He did that. So I said, I'm going to build a road after. I'm going to name a road after this guy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I did.
Cool.
So we named the road after. Now we have a Ron Wallace Memorial Day race. And we pack them in. And there's another guy, John Pataki. We got the Pro Sticks. We were going to have the Southeast Gases. I don't know if you heard.
Oh, yes. We know. Quain Stott is.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
We know those guys.
Yep. Well, if Quain Stott, they've been working on it. He's been doing this for about 7 years now. And it's really starting to build. I mean, I hear rumors that the Pro Mod races on Long Island are building some of these gases.
Okay.
Get involved with that. Right now, he's only got about 20. We had a date set for him and everything. We had 20 of these Southeast Gas guys. Now they're doing a junior stock, isn't it? So it's not enough for him to feel, to put a full field in.
Right.
So he said, but he's not going to any other track but ours.
Okay.
He loves what he hears about our track. So he's very tough on his rules.
Yeah.
So if we're not going to get it this year, we had the date. but he could only muster up about 20 cars.
Okay.
So next year, from what I hear, I got so many guys. Well, we got a posted class. I don't know if you guys ever heard of these guys. Yeah.
I need to accelerate the Nomad build, Jeff.
Yeah, seriously.
They'll have 21 cars. Anyway.
I heard Gary Cordier. I mean, these are rumors, and I love starting more rumors.
I want to pull Willie Hasek out of retirement.
Oh, my God, definitely. Yep, Willie Hasek. In fact, I went over to Stop and See Him, and that was when you went to Stop and See Him the same day. We just missed each other.
Yeah, I missed you by 2 hours. I know. I know.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I always... I always pay respect when I go stand by see Willie.
Yes.
Because when I had my stupid Biscayne motion car, he was in that one city hauler standing the thing up on the bumper with a small block, and I'm like, how does he do that? You know?
Oh yeah.
And that was a real junior stock. I mean, that car ran well. So we bring that back, and that's what everybody wants to see. Big wheels there. I got the Pro Stick guys. And these guys do the same thing, but they're running a bracket race where Quain Stott is. Listen, it's heads up. That's it.
Yeah.
And it's pure. He's a purist.
Oh yeah.
And that's what I love about him. That's why he's getting the draw that he gets. And we got to bring it back to that. And let me tell you something. You got to see the young people that are driving these cars. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not the old. There's some old guys like me and Joe. Out there, and Willie.
Right.
But he's got some young kids throwing through the gears, dumping the clutch at $9,000, with these, it's just cool. You know, if you couldn't get it in 1967, you couldn't have it on your car.
Right.
He's really good. We're going to get him up there, and I know that'll put us really on the map, because everybody knows these guys.
Oh, sure.
And they go, when I had it, everybody, Mike, I'm coming up to that race, I says, well, I hate to disappoint you now. You're not coming this year.
Yeah.
But we'll get them, Ray. Get them. So,
I was going to say, I want you to tell everybody how to get in touch with you, where they can find information on the track and all after you finish your thought.
Oh, sure. Reach me on my cell phone. It's funny. I had this announcement when I first started with the track, and he was... they didn't believe. First of all, I think I'm going to get some kind of award for the guy who drives the furthest to run his track to go to work. I drive from Valley Stream 210 miles every Saturday morning, get the track ready, run it Sunday, and I'm home by 11 o'clock Sunday night.
Wow.
So I think if there's an award for, I got everybody beat. I don't think there's anybody who travels further than me to run a drag strip. But let me tell you something. I sold my home. And we just having a ball. It's the overrated houses. I'm having more fun. I don't care. We just built a man cave, a garage. Yeah. But you take this number down, Ray. You can give it to everybody. One announcer goes, I'm putting your name out there. Says, it's public. Somebody better get the information right from Mike Cattoli than get it wrong.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And I know the Naps, and I know Bobby Domino, and all these guys. They were grassroots. They were down in the, I go down the staging lane. I tell everybody that works for me. I said, who pays you? And if they say you do, Mountain Mike, I go, wrong answer. Every one of those spectators, every one of those people in cars, everybody's got their grandkids. Those are the people that pay your salary. Make sure they have a great time when they come to South Mountain Raceway.
Right. What's that number, Mike?
Number one thing. 347-522-6466.
Got it.
So if you want to call me, southmountainraceway.com.
Got it.
We got a website. We got Facebook. In fact, I'm telling you, this part of Pennsylvania, I love Long Island. I grew up in Long Island. Best people in the world, everybody worked for somebody. Hazelton, Grumman, Eaton, whatever. You could have anything made. The guy who made my distributor, he did nuclear power plants. I said, I need this. And he goes, yeah, here you go. You know what I mean? So that's where I'm at right now is like Mechanicsburg.
Right.
That's the town next to me. It's like Grumman was.
Yeah,
the people around here are just like that. you know.
That's great.
People, they're all you know, engineers, machinists. They're greatest people I've ever worked with.
And you go know? One town over, you can get your carriage fixed at Abe's Buggy Barn over there in Amish Country.
You got it. We got Lancaster right there. Yep.
Right. All right.
That's amazing.
Mike, we're going to have to run and get our last segment in, but we appreciate you coming on with us, and we're going to follow up with you, get you back on again maybe sometime over the summer. We'll see if we can, or maybe, I don't know, but the summer's probably bad because you're in the middle of race season, but we'll definitely keep in touch and keep getting the information out to the people.
Yeah, and, in other words, we'll plug you.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Ray, we really appreciate what you guys do. You know, I couldn't believe it, but a friend of mine calls me up and he goes, "Hey, I heard those guys who mentioned your name on last Sunday." I said, "You know, I don't know if you know Pat from Dial Transmission."
Oh, of course, good friend of ours.
As I said, Pat goes, "Hey, I heard you were mentioning your name." I called me up, let me know. I go, "Yeah, you're one of the hit list too, pal."
Right, so, that's right.
Yeah, you're on the island.
Ray,
we're going to talk about you.
Thank you. But listen, Ray, we're going to get a racetrack on that island somehow, some way. And any way I can help those guys down there, I do. I try. You know, Dennis Quintone and Sali and Monte Calvo, all those guys.
Yeah.
They're really giving it their heart. Now, we just got to get, you know what? Somebody's going to step up with a boatload of money and say, you know what, let's just do this because the Tollies having too much fun.
Yeah.
We need to have one like this, too.
Until then, we'll throw it in with you, and we'll keep South Mountain growing and thriving, Mike.
Thank you, Ray. You guys have a blessed, productive, and safe day.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you so much for calling.
Yeah.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye, right. Joe.
Take care, man.
Bye-bye, Mike. Bye. All right, that was great. Mike Natoli from South Mountain Raceway.
A local boy.
Yeah, another local boy. Absolutely. We're gonna take a break, Joe, but I got to mention, you know, if you want to hear some good old mix of music, tune in to the original retro mix here. Mondays at noon, you can hear Colton Murray, where he hosts the original version of what was once WHPC's flagship show with hits from the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And for now, let's go take a break, because I got to take a breath and reset, kind of digest everything that we just heard.
Call it. Give us a couple minutes and call back, okay?
And we'll be back in a few minutes. Keep it where you got it.
Whether your car is fast or slow, we're your number one radio show. Motormouth Radio, baby. Ow.
Oh, baby, I'd love to stay here all day and help you with your petunias. And I'll tell you, you look so cute and bouncy and cuddly in that petunia patch. And I know I'm your old man. And you know your old man's gotta go to the drag strip. And I don't care if your sister calls and laughs because I call my car Hellfire. Cause she's gotta understand that I'm your old man. And I'm your old man, and every Sunday I gotta go to the drag races.
Hi, I'm Rob Leonard, host of Beatles Songs for the past 24 years right here on WHPC. Beatles Songs airs every Friday from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m., playing the music of the Beatles together, apart, along with Beatle cover songs and songs the Beatles covered, along with songs a Beatle either guested on and or produced. And of course, we provide Beatle news. It's not the same show where they play the same 10 songs. So join me every Friday for Beatles Songs. 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
Whether you're a hot rod or a Camaro chick, the Motormouths will always do the trick. Motormouth Radio, baby.
And we're back.
Are we back? Him and
let's listen a little more Hellfire, Joe.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a little bit of Hellfire from the CD drag strip, that weirdo compilation I got. Let's go
to the phones. Yeah,
we're going to go back to the phones and say, hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, Ray, it's Mikey from LT. How you doing?
Hey, Mike, how are you?
I want to tell you what that guy is doing is great.
But I tell you, when he mentioned the Fun City Hall, boy, did that bring back fond memories. I used to love to watch that no-made run.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, Willie,
when I had a garbage truck, I'd put that name on top of the oil tank.
Did you? Wow, that's
pretty
cool.
That was a wild running small. You remember the paddy wagon?
Oh, yeah, that was another very popular one, yeah.
That came from my neighborhood, too, in Masters.
Those wagons, you know, they were great, good, you know, good weight transfer. A lot of the guys, the Chrysler guys kind of hooked up with that early on, where they, like the Candymatic guys even ran a wagon. I think it was a Polaro. 62 Polaro or something.
Tri-Tac and Morgan.
Yeah, because they found like weight transfer was, and they weren't even doing altered wheelbase stuff yet.
No, Tri-Tac and Morgan, they were with their Plymouth, 64 Plymouth wagon. They were the super stock, what was it, C-Automatic record holders for years out of New Jersey.
That sounds
Tri-Tac
right.
Tri-Tac and Morgan with a Masters of 413 wedges back in the 70s, yeah.
Yeah.
Good to hear what he's doing, though. Good luck, guys.
Yeah, Mike is doing a great job, and he's up in PA. He's not that far away, so, you know, we endorse him, that's for sure. Absolutely.
I hope they could build a quarter-mile track out here in Long Island, because the 8 mile, to me, is, you know, it's good, but, you know, it's not the same.
Well, yeah, I know.
At least for now, we got some place to go that's not that far away.
The numbers look better, though.
Why did E-Town close? What were they? They got tired of the yuppies next door and fighting them, or what?
Well,
there's a lot of discussion about that, but that, nothing definitive. Yeah. So we kind of let that sit. Bottom line is we can't go there no more. So that what's the difference?
That's what I thought, Mike, and I thought that Mike could maybe shed some light. But like you said, when they get paid to store cars on the track, and that's what E-Town's going to do. At how much do you say a day it was, Joe, per car?
Something like $95 a
day. All right,
$95
a day. You know, a quarter mile track. That's $13.20, but plus the shutdown area. I mean, you got to have a good half mile, and you could put cars on both sides. That's a lot of cars at almost $100 a day. I mean,
I can't believe they're going to pay that kind of money.
Yeah, you know, I know Copart does it. They were doing that with, like you said, the flood cars. He said that track in Texas is filled with Harvey cars.
Yeah.
You know, they did it out here in Calverton.
They did it out here with the boats here in after Sandy. They were paying them. They were paying them by the day, not by the foot, by the day. Mm. It was unbelievable. But I'll tell you something. You know, you see this all over the country. Not only with drag racing, but with circle track. People move next to a stock car track, and all of a sudden they want to bitch about the noise one day a week.
Oh yeah, well that's what happened with West Hampton. You know, that's how we lost that one too.
That and the people got old, they really weren't interested in putting any money. I worked with a few electricians that were related to those people, you know, and they really didn't care. I mean, you would go to Southampton, and sometimes it'd be just the two old ladies that were the wives and the husbands. So where's your husband today? Oh, he went to a flea market in Pennsylvania.
Right.
You know, half the time at Southampton, you didn't even get a time slip.
Right. Yeah, I know. If you got past the dip.
Listen, the best part about Southampton was when you had a locked rear end, when you could, down the shutdown, you could whack the throttle and slide the ass around.
Right. Yeah.
All right, boys. Be well.
Okay, Mike. Thanks.
Thanks for calling.
All right. So long.
Good old
Mikey. Yeah.
Well, at least we have another potential place for guys to go.
Right.
You know, when as time goes by. Because I don't think nobody's really done drag racing just yet. I don't know what expect us to do. I mean, roller skate.
Well, they don't care what we do as long as we don't make noise and, you know, do it on the street.
Well, I mean, you know, I just thinking about it, though, it must be tough to run an operation like that. And after a while, people just get tired.
Right.
Yeah, they're not tired of calling, they're flashing again.
One thing I never get tired of is going to the phones and saying, hi, you're all at the Motor Mouths. Yes, hi, you're all at the Motor Mouths.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Vic, how are you?
What's going on, man?
Same old.
All right. Well,
that's
Mike
good.
Is a great person.
Yeah.
Mike does it for fun.
Yeah. You can tell
he stops in the shop,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, we talk, and he needs X amount of cars just to see a profit, and sometimes he doesn't get them. But he doesn't care.
Right,
you know?
Really.
Because he's saving.
Mm-hmm.
And well, I really wanted him to talk a little bit more about the island, because when he was in... He stopped in last week, and he goes, I got a call this morning that was very interesting, but he wouldn't say what it was.
Okay.
So,
it's like talking to you when you say, hey, I got this part. It's really cool. You're going to love it. And I ask you, well, what is it? And you say,
I can't tell you.
Yeah. So, good. Now you got some of your own medicine, Vic.
Yeah. It's funny, though, because I had a guy come in about a year and a half ago, and he was saying about E-Town, he goes, it's not going to be long. He goes, in that family, there were two people basically sharing a million. Then the kids and all got involved, and you had a million people sharing too.
Yeah.
Everybody's working for the track and pulling the money out of it.
Right, right.
But the Summer Nationals paid all the bills. Everything after that was profit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, all the other stuff they do with all the autocross and the mud bog
right.
and all that stuff does revenue. But $95 a day per car for storage.
No.
You're doing nothing.
No.
What?
Not $95 a car. It's bulk. They got bulk.
Okay.
They did not get $50 a car times the 30,000 cars.
Okay.
I have a friend of mine that's personal friends of the family. Anytime they said they were going to call him, I'd call him up because he has breakfast with them at least twice a week. They closed him up. Nope. I haven't spoke to him now because it doesn't matter because they're closed. But when I run into him, I'll say, why are they closed? And he'll give me the exact reason. You know, it's all, everybody's got their own one. One guy said when Scott Coletta got killed, because they wouldn't let E-Town expand into the road.
Right, right.
Another one with the noise, another one with this and that. Let's look at it this way. If you're putting on an event for 4 days and it's costing you $4 million and you're making $1 million profit and you got to be there, right? You got to, this whole year you have to work on this event.
Yeah.
Versus a parking lot filled with junk where you sit home and make $1 million.
Right.
Yeah, seriously.
What would you do?
Yeah, well, that's my point. Let me ask you this. You said your friend knows the Naps?
He's an E-Town boy originally.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that there's a possibility that he could get us an interview with the Naps here on Motor Mouth Radio?
I don't know.
If you could make
a call... I'll try to get in touch with him because he's in the Navy now down in Virginia.
Okay.
I'll give him a holler. I'll reach out to him, see what's happening.
I mean, and tell him, we don't want to... We're not looking to corner them or anything. We just want to report the information as as auto journalists, so we just want to get their side.
There's a lot of questions out there.
And we would gladly give him a spot on the show. That'd be great.
Right. And plus another thing. Young kids do not go drag racing anymore.
Yeah, I know.
Young kids go drifting. Young kids do that.
Well,
everything at E-Town, the drifting, you bring your brother or your girlfriend, self-contained.
Right.
The motocross, self-contained. The go-karts and the motorcycle, all self-contained. All they need is a fire truck and an ambulance and a guy to collect the money.
Yeah, that's it.
Right?
Hey, and they got to have the swap meet. Listen, they got to have the swap meet because I may need another kitchen sink.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, I'm almost out of firewood. I forgot.
Or a vanity, right. Exactly. Hey, you know what? But I still look forward to the swap meet. I do.
And it's swap meet in the 70s.
I know. But you know what? Listen, the TV shows from the 70s, the close. We can't go back. We only got what we got, and we got to make the best of it. At least we had that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but now you got to start working on the Nomads.
Yeah, when Mike is talking about getting the Southeast Gases up, Quain Stott and those guys, they run a really cool, tight ship. That association is.
They have like about 80 cars.
Yeah. No, I know he's good friends with the Parisis. I was in line to get Quain on the show a couple of years ago, and then the connections went cold. I'm going to reestablish that and see if we can get
I want to make a road trip to one of their shows.
Yeah. I think they race at Orlando Raceway or something down in Florida.
I don't know. I know.
Yeah, if you look them up.
They're going to Ohio also.
Okay. I know you can look them up. They have a schedule, and they got a lot of videos on YouTube. I've sat there watching them till my eyes bleed. Bled.
But everybody, it's closed. What did he die of? It don't matter. He's dead.
Yeah, right. It doesn't matter. Right. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
This and that, we're getting it back. No.
I heard something. I forget the gentleman's name, but the founder of IKEA passed away at 90-something years old. And then the DJ who reported said, gee, I wonder who built his casket. I wonder if it was if it came with those instructions.
I was going to say, they're still building his coffin,
with the wrench. Oh, God.
Follow the aisle to the dead section.
There you go.
All right. You guys got to go, I know.
Yep.
Yeah, we're going to get there by the clock. Thanks for calling,
Vic. Later on, man.
Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Good old Vic. And Vic is works at the place where I just missed Mike the other day.
Right.
So, again, the circles, just like you, Joe, everything
the
is always...
Tight. Yeah, they're all intersecting there.
We're kind of like the ring and pinions in sense because everything meshes and kind of...
Yeah.
Does that kind of cool stuff.
Yeah,
so.
I'm more like a Howling Bearing, personally.
Howling Bearing, yeah. But, yeah, so speaking of Howling Bearings, I tell you what, we're going to be out of here shortly because Kim's coming in with Thunder Road. But next weekend, next Sunday, you want to tune in because we have a great guest.
What do we have, Ray?
We have Mr. Steve Magnante.
Ah, yes.
And Steve's resume is long.
He's a muscle car dude, an auction dude. He's all over the place. He's definitely a force to contend with. You want to listen to this guy talk.
Everybody knows Steve. He's now he's a Barrett Jackson commentator, but he wrote for CarCraft. He wrote for Hot Rod. He still does some writing for those magazines. He's an author. He's written books, 1001
Muscle Car Facts. That's on my desk at work. I still pick that up in between phone calls.
He's got a couple others that he wants to talk about next week. He does magazine articles. In fact, he caught my eye with a magazine article he did about models, but without paint, altered wheelbase cars without paint. So we're going to talk to Steve next week. He's always a great guest to have in, and that's going to be. We were going to have him today, but I said, hey, you know what? We're going to stack Mike and Steve, and I said,
TMI, too much information.
Well, no, but Steve was flying. Ended up, he was traveling today. He was out in Oregon, so I said, hey, you know what? He's going to a Mopar junkyard crawl to pick some Mopar stuff out in Oregon.
Wow.
So I said, you know what? Let's not complicate things with
time
difference or whatever.
Yeah, we don't want any tools or nothing, you know?
Yeah, or any 8 3/4. So, we'll get him in next week, and, we'll pick it up. And that's going to be a great interview. I'm sure we're going to have a good time.
Oh, that is going to be cool, definitely.
Until then,
stay tuned.
We will stay tuned for more, and as soon as Kim comes in, we can...
Yeah.
There she comes.
She's thundering in.
All right, so we'll catch you next week on more Motor Mouth Radio. See you then. Keep it where you got it. Listen to Thunder Road. For Joe D., this is Ray Guarino, Motor Mouth Radio, signing off.
Bye.